And I felt God saying, why don't you just do it? Why don't you just get together, hang out, share some food, break bread together, fellowship, worship. We're going to look at some of the scripture of the apostles' teaching. We're going to pray. So you'll be glad to hear my bit tonight is quite small because you've already been doing the talk. This is a little bit what church would have been like. When Jesus took a group of people and he said, come and follow me, come and do what I do, see what I see, this is kind of what he would have done. There would have been times when he got up and he preached and thousands of people came and they fed them miraculously or he healed people. But there was also plenty of times where he was just with his disciples. But I don't think he ever sat down in a room, got a projector out, his little overhead projector, and said, right, here are the points today, guys. You need to drive out demons. If they don't like it, shake the dust off your feet. He didn't do that. He just hung out. They just spent time together. Church was people sharing life. And the thing that really grabbed me was, A, what happened to that? If church service is a bit like this every week, I'm not saying it will be, by the way. I'm sorry about that. I can't commit the church to this every week. But if it was, there'd be people who would come just for the food. They'd be like, oh, whatever that Jesus bloke going on about, but I'm coming for a free meal. That would be great. I'm coming because there's a guy there who lends me his car every time I turn up. I'm coming because if church started to do the things that the apostles did, we should be rammed. And I think the main difference between what's happened to church now and church then is church has become a thing we do rather than simply a life that people want to be part of. The community of believers then got together and did the sort of things we're doing. They effectively looked at the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the apostles. They read the things that Paul was writing. They heard the stories from the likes of Peter and people who were there. And they took those teachings on and they put them into real life. They spent time praying. They spent time worshiping God. It says they broke bread. They broke bread in remembrance of Jesus as he asked them to do, which we now today call communion. They also broke bread like we've done here, where they're just hanging out and enjoying meals and doing that together. They did it privately. They did it publicly. They did it as a group. And the big thing that always happened, end of verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Anyone remember the last time you saw someone become a Christian? When was the last time you ever saw someone become a Christian? Just thinking now. That's now. I was thinking. Okay, got a few people. Someone became a Christian quite recently. Where is she? She's hiding there. She's at the back. Laura, that one, I'm thinking that's probably the last time I saw someone cooking. Laura, and that was, what was that? It's been a while now. Look, what was it, a month ago? Over a month ago? Last night? There we go. So, let's say argument's sake, 50 days ago. So, according to the scripture here, I should have seen 49 other people become Christians, and I haven't. Probably because I've not maybe looked, but if I went worldwide, but why are we not seeing daily people becoming Christians? Why is it not happening? Why aren't we bulging? We've got all this nice new building and space, and lots of people came in to have a nose around. Why aren't we packed to the rafters? Why aren't we sitting down and going, it wasn't big enough, we need to build more, we need to fit everyone in? Why is that not happening? I don't specifically know the answer, but this is what I want to question with you guys. Is it because the church then was growing because it was good news and it was transforming lives, and today it's seen as just, oh yeah, okay, is that what you believe? That's fine. You believe that, I'll believe this. Have we lost the essence of the gospel? Because the church was to embody the gospel of Jesus. It wasn't just meant to be a little bubble of people. It wasn't meant to be a holy club. It wasn't meant to be a sort of, this guy's quite cool, let's follow him. It was meant to be, this is the teaching of Jesus. This is how it's changed and transformed our lives. This is how it's lifting us out of a place of oppression, under rule of Romans, under being taxed to death, having everything that we want taken from us, seeing no hope, no idea what we can do. We can't keep these laws. We can't be good enough for God. Our sacrifices are constant. What's the point? And it said to them, no more does that need to happen, because God turned up in flesh, human being. He took on all that you do wrong and ever will do wrong. He took that punishment for you on the cross because he loves you. And that because of that, you and God, you are right again if you accept and believe. And God has got a whole new life for you. A life not just for eternity as part of heaven, but a life right here on earth. No longer are you stuck in a rut where you've got nothing good going on, where you're going to live, struggle to live, die, and that's it. To the people then, that was everything they needed to hear. It was literally life-changing. We know this because so many of them were killed for taking it on. Look at the likes of Paul, a massive conversion, and the oppression that he went through. Look at a lot of the apostles, a lot of disciples who ended up being martyred for their faith, and so many countless more that we'll never know the names of. I wonder if church has become too comfortable, too much of a club, too much of a, and I don't just mean here, I'm talking Western worldwide. Have we missed that essence that says, this should change your life? You should want to be part of the church because the church is going to do nothing but good for you. It's going to do nothing but help you and support you and love you. And I question why anyone can walk past a church in any community and say, I'm just not bothered, because I feel like something has gone horribly wrong there. If we look around the world, you look at likes of China, you look at South America, you look at places in Africa, the church is booming because it is giving people hope. It's giving people a reason to live, a reason for existence. How we do that in the Western world, I don't know yet. But I do know that people's lives full of all these crazy... I have two phones. And it doesn't make me happy. Well, it does sometimes, but it doesn't complete my life. I have technology, I have cars, all these things. And I think we've got so much, but we all know there's emptiness within that. You can't feel real acceptance. You can't have a real purpose. We as a church need to offer that. And we need to do what Jesus asked us to do in the first place, which is to love, accept, get a pile around, sort out, support, whatever we need to do to the people in our community. So sitting down and having a bit of food around tables, awesome. If you're here for the first time tonight, and we don't normally do this, but maybe we should every week, I don't know. But if you come across someone who you think they're in need, or you find a homeless person in the street, we should be able to deal with that as a church so easily, because that's what we're here to do. We should be able to take people who feel like they've got no purpose in life, that life is pointless, or even people who think that everything is just great and life is going fine, but there's something not quite there, and say, what you're missing is Jesus, and let us introduce you to him. But I struggle with this idea of, why have we got to pull on all these super exciting singing, dancing events? Why have we got to convince people to come to church? Because in the Bible, people were desperate to become part of his community. They were willing to give up their lives for it. And the Lord added to his kingdom daily the people who were being saved. Church, I think, is such a huge challenge because we all, in some way, will screw up. But that's okay because that's what church is about. If it was all on me, you'd all be stuffed because this is about best idea I can come up with. Okay, so, this is it. So it's not all on me. If it was all on Louise, then there'd be more Gary Barlow involved. But still, there would be a limit. It's not even all on the elders, it's on us as a group to do church, to be a community that has everyone else saying, I need to be part of that, I need that, either because I just want friendship, I want love, I want support, or I'm going through the most utter horrible things in life, or maybe everything is fantastic and going great, but I just know there's something more to life, and I'm looking for that support. Every time you see someone in the street and you smile at them and you're kind to them and you're just loving, you are being church to that person. Every time that you stop a car to let someone else out, you're being church to that person. Every time you make a kind comment or text or whatever it is, you are being church to that person. I am so guilty of this. I have kind of like, I'm in work mode, I'm doing stuff, and I get outside and it's like, don't talk to me, I'm not in church mode anymore, I'm not in work mode, I'm off. How dare you look for loving kindness from me in the supermarket? I am not working right now. And then I'm just like, almost like slapping myself going, what are you doing? And do you know what, almost the other day, I almost did the whole, I'd like to pay for my shopping, I'd like to pay for the persons behind me shopping. I didn't, because I'm a wimp. And I thought, they'll get into massive argument about, why are you paying for my shopping? What's going on? What's the catch? And because it's so abnormal, isn't it? It's so against the way the world operates. But what if the church said, no longer? We're going to rebel. Let's start a rebellion. Let's do something which goes against the way the world's expected to work. And over time, people go, do you know what? That's amazing. Why are you doing this? Where are you from? Can I come along? Can I be part of that? Can I help? Can I do that? And when we say, all this is because of this guy called Jesus. All of this is because of his teachings, because of God and because of what he's done for us and done in his lives. Then people, even the hardest atheists, are going to say, well, if you're willing to do that extreme, then there's got to be something to this. I would love us to, I'd love to say, here are three sermon points, and that's how we're going to be the Acts Church. But it's not there. We saw a video about all that the church has achieved. I know it's American-based, I know it glitched a lot, but it gives you an idea that if you took the church out of history, I have no idea where we'd be, but we would have so much missing. You know, healthcare, education, two of the biggest things the church pioneered, not because they sat down in, you know, 210 AD and thought, how do we get more people to come along to our gatherings? I know, let's start a school. What's a school? Well, I'll make it up and then we'll do it. And then, no, they just said, we need to help people. Let's do things that help our communities. We need to think of how do we do that today? So schools exist, hospitals exist, but what do we do in our communities that is a need, that is going to love people, that is going to provide for them and say, the church is more than just a gathering of people who all think the same thing. A church is here to serve you and love you, even if you think we're a whole bunch of idiots. Because that's what Jesus did, and that's what he commanded us to do. And then the final point you think is, well, don't we need to get a load of really skilled, equipped people in? Well, sometimes you do, yes, that's a reality. We can't operate on with no gifts and skills, but God often sorts it out for us. Sometimes people need to go away and actually discover what that is, get a bit of training, do a bit of self-digging. Sometimes you need to bring in really high-skilled people to work with youth and children. But apart from that, we're generally doing okay. It was meant to be a joke, that, but yeah, it's gone now. But we need to do it together, however skilled or not. Without Jimmy, I would wonder how we would do. Jimmy has an amazing skills, but Jimmy would say, him on his own is useless. He's not a church. He can't do this. He can't manage finances for a person of one. You know, what's the point of that? We are in this together. Whatever our skills, whatever our gifts are, however long or short you've been a Christian, however young or old you are, God wants you here. He wants you to work. And he wants us, as Peter says, we are all in this together. I'm going to show a video to kind of reiterate this point that we are effectively a group of just broken hypocrites. But those broken hypocrites over the years have changed the world and transformed it beyond what we could ever imagine it would be. So we're going to watch this video. Oh, we might have to give up. Is it running through Easy Worship? Oh, okay. So you couldn't just run it through Media Player. Sorry. Do nibble. Just give us a moment. Here we go. Oh. No, okay, we'll stop there. We have seen this before, though. The point is it goes for all the different sets of people, you know. Oh, I thought church was for girly men, and then you get these two massive blokes who were like, sorry, say that again. And, I thought church was for those who had everything together, and there's someone going, I don't know who I am, what I'm doing in my life, but yet I'm loved and accepted here. One of them says, if you knew what I'd done, then you wouldn't want me part of your church. And then it comes up, it says, retired pilot, I'm presuming war pilot, and says, if you knew what I'd done, you wouldn't want me to be there. And it just hits home that we are all from different places, different stages of life and faith. But church is for us all. And we need to be church more than just here, but we need to be in our communities. We need to show people that Jesus is alive, that he cares and loves for them, that he wants to transform their lives. Part of that, as I've just been reminded, is through the signs and wonders that go on. You know, the Holy Spirit is at work today as much as he was at work then. I truly believe that. You know, if I said right now, someone come out the front and they came out and they were blind and limping and I prayed for them, they were healed, every single one of you would go home and tell that story over and over and over and over and over again. There would still be people who wouldn't believe you, but it would still change how you would view. Can we not just take that about church and get it out there, that same opinion? I believe signs and wonders will come, but as also Jesus says, if you rely on signs and wonders, it's the video again, if you rely on them, Why does adults' generation need them? It's like, well, I think it's a balance. God will do what he's going to do, and I truly believe that. But I also believe sometimes a miracle is just as powerful as loving someone, as talking to someone. There's so many stories. A story from Youth Alpha about a guy dropping off a guy from a group home, and he was prompted by God to say, you know, ask him if he wants to hang out for a little bit tonight and have a drink. And he went to this guy's house and he showed him his workshop and he had a big drink and all this. And 2 hours later, the guy went home and thought nothing more of it until he found out a week later, as the guy confided him, that actually that night he was planning to kill himself because he thought no one really cared. And just this guy just being friendly, you know, literally changed his life. We don't know the impact we can have. We have no idea the impact that God will have. I'm passionate about this because I believe that revolutions were started with far fewer people than you see in this room right now. And we are not alone. We are one of 8 churches in West Kirby. West Kirby is one of about 15 towns across the Wirral. The Wirral is then a small, you know, you look on the map when they do the weather and it sticks out like a thumb. And it's like, it's that small across the, we are a small section of a much bigger church. And if we were to march and to do the things that God is asking us to do, then the world could not do anything but be transformed. I'm going to finish on this. As God said to Peter, I will build my church, not try to, not might do. I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the defenses that hell has, the gates, will not stand up against it. Because it is not hell that comes out to attack the church, but actually the church that says, excuse me, we're coming through here. And your gates, your walls, your defenses, they will not stand. Yes, you'll put up a fight. Yes, there'll be battles. But you will not stand because the church is here to do that. I want us to spend time in prayer. And I don't mean as in I'll say a prayer and we finish. But actually, there's lots of natural groups as you're sat. And some people may want to come and join groups. But to pray for 2 things. I want you to pray for each other. As people who are here tonight, no one is here by accident. I truly believe that. If you're here because you came last minute, you wandered in, then God wants you here. And you're going to get prayed for tonight. And the second, so pray for you, pray for each other and your role within the church. What are you doing? And if you don't know, then be honest and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what my purpose is. Get some prayer for that. Just let God speak to you. The second thing to pray for then is for the church in general. That the church doesn't lose this, doesn't lose what's going on here, doesn't become a holy club for people who feel like they're sorted, but they're not actually. So the whole world looks at them and says, you're hypocrites. And we say, well, yeah, we are. But actually we say, we want to do the things that the Bible has asked us to do, that Jesus has commanded us to do. And we want to see a transformed world because of the church. It's God's plan. It's what he wanted to see happen. It's what he's asking us to do. He is coming back. But in the meantime, we've got a job to do. So pray for each other and pray for the church and the role it has in our world, if we're happy to do that. I think the band are going to come up and play a kind of bit of music over that. But you don't have to come straight up, band, if you want to be part of the prayer. Okay, that is okay. And then I think once we're going to have, let's just pray. Let's just shut up, Dan. And pray, okay? So if you want, don't mind getting to little groups, things like that. If you want to be individual in your prayer, then fine. I'm not saying you can't pray individually, but I really encourage you, come and do what church does. Be together, you know, pray for one another.